For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So tonight we're looking at biblical prosperity for the church, and in this we're going to see that there is a right prosperity, a biblical prosperity that we can have, and there is a wrong one, obviously, of course. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you, Lord, and thank you for your wonderful benefits that you daily load us with. I pray, Father, that you show us through your word what we need to know about this important area tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So tonight we're looking at biblical prosperity for the church, and we need to understand that God wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to be people that are doing his business whilst we're on the earth. The Bible tells us in the book of James that life is but a vapor. It's a very short period of time. We don't have a huge amount of time on the earth. A lot of people act as though they have all the time in the world, but of course it's a very short period of time, it's a vapor. Let's have a look at Luke 12, verses 29 to 32. Now, the Lord shows us that there is a great difference between what the people of the world are doing and seeking after, and what the people of God should be doing and seeking after. And indeed, the people of God are different. If you've been born again, then you know you're a new creature in Christ. You've been changed on the inside. You now, through the spiritual birth, have been made that new creature. So Luke 12, let's read from verses 29 to verse 32. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." And that's what verse 30 says. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There's good things in the kingdom of God. So we see that there is a seeking that people do. And in verse 30, it says, "All these things do the nations of the world seek." So what are the nations of the world? In fact, the people in the world, what are they doing? They're seeking things, aren't they? Are they seeking the Lord? Well, the Bible says they're in blindness and darkness if you're not born again. So they're not seeking the Lord, they're seeking things. And we're told in verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." So God's not against you having things. He's not against his church having things. In fact, the church has a commission to reach out to the lost of the world. And so the church has to have resources to be able to do that. So the church has a commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do well to remember that commission. Let's have a look at that in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we'll look at verses 18 to 20 of Matthew 28. So the commission is to reach out to the nations, is to reach out to the nations. And in fact, as I mentioned before, you need to have a prosperous people to be able to do that. You think about what it's saying for us to do in these verses. And of course, we acknowledge it's not just one local church. It's obviously talking about the church as a whole. But we need to see that Christ's people can't be powerless without authority, without enablement. No. The Lord empowers us, gives us what we need to do. And we can see that in verse 18 onwards. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore. Therefore, why is that word therefore there? Because all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. You're relying on his power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we see this commission goes to the end of the world. We see also that the commission is to go and teach all nations. And obviously, within that is getting them converted and baptized in water, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Isn't that really interesting that Jesus uses the word command? And there's a lot of people that act as though there are no commands in the New Testament, but they need to be taught, don't they? Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth, of the world. So Jesus has all power given unto him. He is with us, and so therefore we can rely on his power. He's given us a commission. When I say us, he's given the church a commission. And that is what we need to understand, that while we're on the earth, we're not here just for ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't want us to be happy. The Bible says, happy is he that trusts in the Lord. So he clearly does want that. But he wants his people to understand that life is short and you've got to get into his business and to do what he wants you to do. Glory to God. We can have a look at Psalm 33, verse 12. You'll see here that there is blessing attached to having the Lord as the God of the nation. Okay, so what we're doing is we're extending, in the teaching, we're extending the fact that there is blessing attached to the gospel. People believe the gospel and come into Christ, come into the body of Christ. And Psalm 33, verse 12 is very important for us to see that the fact that there is that blessing and that the nations of the world need that blessing. Absolutely need it. Notice what it says in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Notice, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, Jesus said to teach all nations, baptizing them. So he obviously wants nations to turn to him. Our goal is for the nation of Australia to be turning to the Lord and to have that blessing as a nation whose God is the Lord. It is not satisfactory for the vast majority of people in the nation not to be saved. And that, as I said, that's part of what we're getting involved in and why we need to be prosperous people. So let's have a look also at, and talk about that blessing, what's attached to that blessing, and what we need to see is attached to the blessing that we have as well as we come into the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22. Now, obviously, if you understand the blessing, you'll know that there is an empowerment that can come in and should come into people's lives to change them from being partakers of the curse in whatever area to being partakers of God's benefits and the things that he's provided and does provide. Glory to God. So Proverbs 10, verse 22, notice what it says here. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So notice the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh rich. Oh yes, I'm spiritually rich. Well, you know, we're children of Abraham, and Abraham was rich in spiritual and physical blessings as well. So the blessing of the Lord is what we are attached to and should be attached, showing that there is in that blessing God's richness, God's prosperity, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, there is sorrow attached to prosperity in the world, because the Bible is very clear that we should not love money, because there's a snare in that, there's a trap in that. We should be loving God and going his way. In fact, if you go back to Proverbs 1, it'd be good for us just to cast our eyes on the fact that there is an unbiblical type of prosperity, and that unbiblical type of prosperity is what is going to destroy people. Verse 32 says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Okay, the fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." Fools are not going along the lines of the word of God, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. If people trust in money, trust in material things, just like what we read before, the nations of the world seek things. What should we be seeking? What did we read before? We should be seeking the kingdom of God. In fact, another scripture says, "Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So let's keep in mind that we understand that there is blessing attached to what we are doing, and that blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. So it's not this type of blessing we read in Proverbs 1 where it'll destroy us. It's going to cause us to be able to do the things of God in a better way. Glory to God. Let's have a look also at, and this is very important, because now we're looking at biblical prosperity for the church. What do the people of God have to do to be able to reach the nation? Now, if they're just like the world, and the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world," in Romans 12. If you're just like the world, they're going to forget God in their lives. But God doesn't want that. Let's have a look at 2 Chronicles. We'll look at a few verses in here. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7. Now, the people of God must be, and I'll emphasize it again, doing the work of God whilst on the earth. In fact, the scriptures tell us in Ephesians 2 that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works didn't get us saved. Jesus paid for our salvation. But we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He wants us to do things whilst we're on the earth. He wants us to do things. And obviously, the Bible says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. We can't be people that can do nothing, because we have nothing. We have to be able to do things. We have to be a blessing and to do what God wants done. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Let's read what it says there. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray," and what's this? "Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I think this is a real key for the land of Australia to be healed, and for the nation to have the Lord as their God. Okay, so what's it saying? If my people, which are called by my name. I think there's a lot of problems with the churches today calling themselves Christians, but unfortunately being diverted into worldly things. But humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways. So that means repent. "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now that's prosperity. The land of Australia definitely needs to be healed, definitely needs to be changed, definitely needs the God of the Bible to be in charge. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Just a few chapters across, 2 Chronicles 12. And we'll look at verses 13 and 14 here. So biblical prosperity for the church. People of God have to turn to the Lord and understand they have a commission on the earth, and that commission is to go and teach all nations. We're not here to do nothing on the earth. We are not people that should be doing nothing, but we should be seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to be doing your business whilst I'm on the earth. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 verses 13 and 14. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonites, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So this is a big problem, isn't it? People not preparing their heart to seek the Lord. Now, also have a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. So God wants his church to increase. We won't go to the scripture, but Ephesians 4:16 says that he wants his body to increase, but he wants it to increase in the right way. It's no use in increasing if people are not seeking the Lord, if they're not seeking the kingdom of God. But of course, if the people of God are seeking him and repent of sin and get the wrong things out of their lives, then he can do things. He can heal the land, and he can prosper the people of God so that they're able to do what he wants them to do. So 1 Chronicles 16 verses 10 and 11. Let's look at that one. 16, 10 and 11. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So it should be a joyful thing for you to seek the Lord. If you're a born-again Christian, it should be something of rejoicing for you to seek the Lord. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Okay, so we saw before that we are to humble ourselves, to pray, turn from anything that's keeping us back from doing the will of God. God wants his church to increase. Glory to God. So let's have a look also at 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 to 5, now that we're in Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 26, 3 to 5, and we'll see what happens when people do seek the Lord. And obviously, if the church, the body of Christ as a whole, sought the Lord, what would happen? What would happen? Well, good things will happen. In fact, the Bible is very clear that he wants his people blessed, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And we'll see a biblical principle here that we read in 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 to 5. Verses 3 to 5. And talk about Uzziah. Now, Uzziah started off well. If you read right through chapter 26, you'll see that he didn't finish well. But he started off well. Okay? So let's consider that we can start off well and end well. Okay? Start and end well, not start off well and then, you know, we get destroyed at the end. That's not God's will. So starting from verse 3, 2 Chronicles 26, 3 to 5. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that good? According to all that his father Amaziah did. Now notice what it says in verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what? Prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Does God want you to prosper? Indeed, many commandments talk about seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord. Okay, many, many commandments about that. And so if the people of God, as long as they're seeking the Lord, God will make you to prosper. This is a real key if you're living a life of victory personally, but also for the church as a whole. And it's not just one church, it's going to be many churches right across this land to seek the Lord, and God making the church and individuals and the church corporately to prosper. Glory to God. So we need to understand this, because this is something that is the biblical prosperity for the people of God, for the church, so that the blessing of the Lord can be in the nation, and the nation can be changed as they seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. You imagine as if this nation was seeking the Lord, what do you think would happen? Crime would go down. Lying would become extinct. Praise the Lord, I wish it was. Things like that would start to happen. There would be definite shifts in the way people view the things of God. Glory to God. Let's have a look at Hebrews 11 verse 6 as well. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Now, this shows that the people of God are to be seeking the Lord, and it's the way of faith. The way of faith. Now, remember that biblical principle, as long as you seek the Lord, you'll prosper. That's a biblical principle. There's many scriptures which illustrate that as well and show that. So looking at Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see you have to be a faith Christian. You have to be a Christian that understands how to walk by faith, how to stand by faith, how to live by faith. All of that. In fact, if you don't understand any of that, it's going to be not pleasing to the Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means, yes, you believe that he exists, but you believe he is everything he says he is in his word. He is your strength. He is your healer. He is your fortress. He is your refuge. He is your foundation. He is your rock. Glory to God. So you believe he is everything he says he is. And you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's a God of rewards, isn't he? He rewards his people. He's a giver. He's the greatest giver that ever was and that ever is and ever will be. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that tells us, you don't say, well, I've sought him several years ago, but now I don't. No, no, it's a part of your life. It should be a part of your life. You are seeking the Lord to do his business whilst you're on the earth. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 8 shows us why he wants the church to prosper. And it's not hard to understand from what we've just been reading why he wants the church to prosper, why he wants the people of God to prosper. And there's a real key statement in here that shows us that. Deuteronomy 8, 16 to 19. Let's look at that. Deuteronomy 8, 16 to 19. Now, you might say, well, he's talking to natural Israel here. You know, the Old Testament is relevant to spiritual Israel, the church, as well. 16 to 19 says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Well, that's a big mistake. That's the prosperity of fools, isn't it? If they're going to say that, that's stupidity. No, it's got to be the opposite. We don't say that. This is what we do in verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Notice what it says. That he may establish his covenant, which is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. So he gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. God must be foremost in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Bible says. First, not second. First. God is first, not second. He is first. His business should be first in your life as well. Don't forget, it talks about remembering the Lord thy God. It talks about him giving you power to get wealth. Okay? And it's not wealth to fritter on yourself. It's obviously he wants you to have good things, but he wants you to do something here that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy father. So God wants his covenant to be established. He wants nations to be taught. He wants his church to understand this. So there's many people that speak against prosperity. Yeah, sure, there's idiots that have abused the prosperity area. But that doesn't mean that there's no message or biblical doctrine of prosperity. There is, and you can see it right through Scripture. We just have to make sure that we're hooking up into the right understanding of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just a couple more scriptures. Let's have a look at 3 John. We'll look at 3 John verses 1 to 3. 3 John 1 to 3. Now, the people of God should be what we would call the taught ones, the learned ones. You know, people learned in the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we should be people that are listening to the word of God, growing by faith, growing in faith, because the word of God is meat. It's food to our spirit. 3 John verses 1 to 3. Notice what it says here. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. He uses the word truth. Well, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Okay? Just see that as a definition. Whom I love in the truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. That's interesting. Above all things. Above all things. Here's John the Apostle writing and saying, I wish above all things, which is strongly desire. Above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants your soul to prosper so that then it'll manifest in the physical, in your life, both in prosperity and in health. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Where does the word of God have to get in? It's got to get into you, doesn't it? It's got to get into your heart. And not just that it's in your heart, even as thou walkest in the truth. So now you've got to walk in the truth as well. Glory to God. Your soul will be prospering if you get the truth of God into you. You'll start to prosper and there'll be things that will manifest. See, God wants his people to be prosperous in health so that they're able to do what he wants on the earth. Okay? I mean, that's just common sense when you think about it. One last scripture. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. And we look at this because we know that God wants his church to be filled with people who are strong, relying on him, let me make that very clear, and are strong in him. Now, one of the things is that it's easy, and the devil is out there distracting people all over the place. It's easy to be distracted unless, as the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, unless you're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course you do that through the word, through prayer, through meditation on the word, through obviously fellowship and being amongst others of like mind, things like that. 1 Timothy 6, and we'll look at verse 16, 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, actually, start from, go 16 to 18. 16 to 18. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. So we can't be people, and the church can't be like this either, trusting in uncertain riches. But where should your trust be? But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now notice why. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So remember, we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's in Ephesians 2. And we're to be rich in good works. God wants us to do good. And notice, we're to trust in the Lord, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, God is wanting his people to be prosperous. The scriptures are very clear. There's, as I said before, there's a proper prosperity doctrine. And that's so that we can reach out to the nation. You cannot teach a nation, for example, you cannot teach the nation of Australia the ways of God and preach the gospel and so on without the backing of resources for the people of God. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for your wonderful word, and we praise you and glorify you as the one who provides, as the one who gives increase, as the one who shows us the way we should go. Help every person here, Lord, I pray, to be of an understanding heart, understand your will, and to be a person that seeks you. And Father, I pray that you prosper every person here as they seek you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.